Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, this morning, please, to Psalm 73, the book of Psalms and chapter number 73. If you would, this morning, when you find that, let's stand together and we'll read our text verse. Psalm number 73 this morning, please. And let's begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. I trust that you'll pray for me this morning. If you know how to pray, pray for the church. Pray for the will of God to be done in our midst. Let's bow our heads together. Ask God's help in the morning hour. Our Father, as we bow as humbly as we know how this morning, to thank You, Lord, for the grace of Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for the light that's been given to us. Thank You, Lord, for the sure mercies of God. I want to thank You this morning for the blood that was shed, the life that was given. Thank You for the house of God that You provided. Lord, for the power that we find in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, it's my desire this morning to preach what You've laid on my heart. Oh God, I plead at Thy throne for liberty in the house of God, for freedom of thought and speech and movement. And Lord, I plead for that fresh oil. As the psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now I pray, oh God, for that fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me this morning. Give me great heavenly thoughts of wisdom to preach to Thy people, Lord, the sheep of Thy pasture, that their hearts may be lightened from the load they carry, their souls may be blessed, their homes helped, and may grace be given without measure. I pray for revival. May it come suddenly upon Thy people as it did on the day of Pentecost, even when the Spirit of God came suddenly into their midst. May the Spirit of God today suddenly come in great reviving power upon Thy people. Open our blinded eyes that we might see things, Lord, that we failed to see in days gone by. Give us great truths to our heart, knowing that the truth of the Word of God shall make us free. Help us in every aspect of the service. Save sinners for Thy honor and glory. And help us in some way today to say something that will exalt and magnify the blessed name of the Son of God. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. For we ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus and for His sake. Amen and amen. I want to read one verse of Scripture, will be our text verse for this morning. In verse number 6, the Bible said, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." And while I was doing my daily devotions in this week, I went back to the book of Psalms and began to read and pray and study through them again. I've had great success in my Christian life in finding the will of God and finding verses, I think, that spoke to my heart about my need. And in the book of Psalms, generally, is where I'll find that. And I was there again this week, and the Lord spoke definitely to my heart out of this verse of Scripture. And I may not be long, I may not preach hard, I may not do any more and read down through my notes. But I will say this morning, that what I'm getting ready to preach is not a sermon. It's a message for this church. It's a message for our hearts and for the house of God at Island Ford Baptist Church. And I certainly hope that we'll lay it to heart and take it in the right spirit, and then let God bless our soul with it. I'll be quite honest. I thought when I was sitting back there, I really, in a way, I hate to even preach it. I saw Mrs. Frazier weeping, and I know that her heart is heavy, and Brother Jerry, and there's needs there, and I know that there's needs in other lives here, but the Holy Spirit has, without a doubt, directed me here in the morning hour. And I'd have to betray the Lord and my call to preach if I didn't stay and preach where I'm at this morning in the book of Psalms. And so I want to take that verse, if I may, just for a little while, and try to preach this morning on this thought: I want to, but my pride won't let me. I want to, Lord, but my pride won't let me. I want to, preacher, but my pride won't let me. The Bible said that they are compassed about with pride, and that pride is like a chain about them. And so I want to preach this morning on that thought: I want to, but my pride won't let me. Now, if you notice, the author of this psalm is a man by the name of Asaph. And in the early verses of the psalm, he finds himself in a great spiritual dilemma. May I say, that is not unusual for the people of God. We're going to find ourselves there from time to time. I've said so often, I'll say it again, that the Christian experience is like a roller coaster. We may be on top of the mountain today, but we may suddenly plunge to the very depths of the valley and find ourselves in the low life of sorrow suddenly. And that's the way the psalmist is. He finds himself in a very spiritual dilemma. His eyes are far removed from the Lord. Anytime your eyes are taken from the Lord, we're headed for trouble. And they're focused upon the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I want to say there, and I'm not preaching on that, but my friend, if your eyes, if you get looking at the world and apparent worldly prosperity and what the foolish have in this life, it'll easily distract you from what God has in store for us. And I often thought, Lord, He speaks so often about the prosperity of the wicked and God's children falling into that trap of the devil. And I thought, Lord, why, how can it be when God's people are primarily the poor? It is the poor that will basically hear the Word of God. And the answer came back to me, because they are envious of what the world has, and they've not yet received their inheritance yet. And rather than take patience and wait on God for what He's prepared for them on the other side, they'll set their heart and their affections upon things that will soon vanish away, rather than rejoicing in what God has for them somewhere down the road. And that's what happened to Asaph. He got in a spiritual dilemma. His eyes were far from the Lord and focused upon the wicked. In fact, according to verse number 2, what he said brought his feet into very slippery places. He said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Now, I want to remind you that Asaph is a child of God. And yet his standing,
His position there on that firm foundation had become slippery ground. I want to say, my friend, as a Christian, as a child of God, and we get our hearts and minds focused upon the wrong thing, we'll find that the foundation that's been provided will oftentimes become slippery places to stand upon and will become sinking sand rather than a solid rock to stand upon. I know that is right. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know?" For when Peter got out of the ship to go to the Lord, friend, he could have been standing on nothing any slippier or any softer than the waves of the sea. But he walked soundly and firmly upon that water as long as he maintained his eyes upon the Lord. But when he lost sight of the Lord, the foundation that he had became a sinking sand. And I want to say without a doubt this morning, we may be standing somewhere in Christ that appears to be a place where we're sinking in the grace of God. But my friend, if we'll keep our eyes upon the Lord, even those slippery places can be a firm foundation for the people of God to stand upon. And that's exactly what Asaph found himself in here. Now, on through the psalm, the Lord begins to open his eyes. It's a marvelous thing how if we'll just stay with God, that he'll open our eyes to real truth. And Asaph sees their corrupt way, he sees their folly, and he finally sees their end. In verse 17, he said, "While he was in the sanctuary of God, his understanding was enlightened, and he sees the end of the prosperity of the foolish." I want to say that's a good place to find direction from God. A good place to receive understanding. But my friend, if you come to the house of God with a preconceived idea that God will not speak to your heart or there'll be nothing from the Lord for you today, you go out of the house of God exactly like you come into the house of God, empty and without any heavenly benefit whatsoever. But if we had ever learned, regardless of the condition that we're in, to come to the house of God expecting heaven to open and God's blessings to be shoveled out upon us, we would return to our own home rejoicing in God, knowing that the Lord had spoken to our heart and fed us with manna from above and blessed our soul with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. And so, as the psalm opens and begins to open, the Lord begins to open his eyes. He sees their corrupt way and their end and their folly. And he receives understanding. But it's verse 6 this morning that I want to deal with. It's there that Asaph sees the pride of the foolish. And he says that pride compasses them about as a chain. That word compass and the word chain are the same word in the Hebrew. Get your Strong's and look it up. It's not two separate words, friend. The same Hebrew word used for compass is the same word that's used for a chain. And it literally means to choke. It means to collar. Or it means to be used as a necklace in strangling. Now I want to say without a shadow of a doubt that pride is a dangerous sin in the lives of the people of God. Brother, it'll be like a noose around your neck that will eventually strangle the very life's blood out of you. In fact, I believe that it is possible for a child of God to be strangled with pride to the point that they have nothing left of their Christian experience but the seal of the Holy Ghost that is put upon them by God Almighty. Oh, I'm telling you, pride's a terrible thing. It's like a noose around your neck. Amen to God. It'll choke you and strangle the very life's blood out of you. It'll bring you down to the very bare minimum of your salvation. And you'll never enjoy deliverance in God as long as there is pride in the heart of a man. And don't say, I'm humble pie. We're all flesh, friend, and capable of falling into the very trap that these had fallen into. Amen. Pride, it'll choke you like a collar or like a necklace. It'll strangle you and it'll choke you. I want to say if pride ever gets a hold of a man, it can choke and strangle him till all but the seal of God or the seal of the Holy Ghost is departed from his spiritual life. There will be things in your life that you'd want to do or like to do, but because of that pride, you can't do them. I want to, Brother Hall, but my pride won't let me. I want to, Lord, but my pride won't let me. I'll be quite honest with you. If the devil was given a half a chance to repent and get right with God, I'm sure that he'd do that. But his pride rose up against God, and it cost him that exalted position. It cost him his place in glory, and I'm quite confident that he'd like to repent if he could, but his pride, my friend, wouldn't let him repent. Telling you, pride will hinder you from doing things for God, to hinder you from getting right. Some of you in here this morning need to just downright confess your sin and get right with God, and you want to do it, but you're so stinking proud that your pride won't let you get right with God. Amen. Most folks don't realize that their pride not only strangles the spiritual life out of them, but out of the church as well. It'll drain the joy, the happiness, the blessedness of everybody. How many remember the message I preached on one bad apple? Man by the name of Jonah, friend. One bad apple brought a storm upon a whole ship in the middle of a sea. One bad apple in the barrel will rot the whole barrel, my friend. Oh, yes, sir. Amen to God. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:2, said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly there is wisdom. Brother Doug was talking this morning in Sunday school about knowing the will of God. You'll never know the will of God until we determine the wisdom of God and let God in His wisdom direct us into His will. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing that holds wisdom back and the will of God back is the pride that is built up in our hearts. I will not bow, but I'm telling you there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly there is wisdom. That word shame means reproach. It means confusion. It means dishonor. Much like I just spoke about Satan, about Lucifer, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub. But I'm telling you, friend, when the day that sin was found in the heart of Lucifer, God dethroned him from that exalted position and made him like a snake in the earth, crawling in the dust of the earth on his belly to a lowly, low place from every other angel God had ever created. I'm telling you, pride can take you from up here down to here. If you read the bulletin this morning, pride has dethroned emperors. It's destroyed empires. It's destroyed homes and lives and tore apart churches. It's destroyed young people that could have been something for God. It's destroyed marriages. It's destroyed women. It's destroyed men. I'm telling you, it is one single element that you, my friend, the only way you can win is to humble yourself in the presence of God and let God work in your life. And I'm talking about confessing every need, every sin that we have at the very throne of God.
Bible said in Proverbs 13:10, that only by pride, now get this now, only by pride cometh contention. Boy, y'all look forlorn. But you was worse than this when you come in this morning. Only by pride cometh contention. Mark that. Not be anything else. Only by pride cometh contention. But with a well advised, there you are again, is wisdom. Only by pride. You know what contention is? It is a struggle. It is a strife. It's a struggle and a strife in order to obtain something that does not belong to you. That is why Lucifer's pride brought strife and contention, my friend, in the realms of glory, is because he looked to obtain something which did not belong unto him. Amen, Brother Hall. Amen. And only by pride cometh contention. And old Brother James said in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Are you listening to me this morning? Friend, I'm telling you, if we're not in a state of confusion here, somebody said, where's it coming from? Envy, jealousy, and strife. Son, I'm telling you, the triune works of evil is where it comes from. And I'm confident that's where that it's coming from, right here in the house of God at Island Ford Baptist Church. I wonder if there's not contention, envy, and strife, my friend, working in the very employees of this ministry. I'm not so sure that it's not working between husbands and wives of members of this church. I'm telling you, God laid this on my heart, my friend. I want to, preacher, and you're good people, and some of you want to, but the only thing stopping you is that foolish pride that's built up in you, that you'll have it your way, do it your way, work it out my way, or I won't have it. And I'm telling you, on the authority of the Bible, you won't have it. Because you'll do it God's way or you won't have it. Amen to God. Are you listening? And how many times have you heard this verse of Scripture? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It cannot win, folks. I don't care if it's in my life, your life, whose life it's in. It cannot win. Some of you come into church and, buddy, I can tell when you pop through that front door that there's a problem. Something's bothering you. Something's bothered some of you for a long time. And I really believe that you've made statements, said things, done little things that you'd like to get right about. And you would. I want to. But my pride won't let me. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to have to deal in a heart of pride, for that pride will elevate a man rather than humble a man. And God will not help us unless we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit about the problems that we have. I'm telling you, sin undealt with, problems undealt with, needs that go undealt with, will not get any better until they are dealt with. They'll grow harder, and your heart will grow more adamant, and you'll grow worse and worse on God, until the final remedy is that God will suddenly cut you off, and there will be no remedy to that cut off. And I said, preacher, are you mad at us? No. God knows my heart. I wept tears over you last night, and I wept tears over you again in my study again this morning. And I'd like nothing better than to see some of you get right. Amen. I mean that with all of my heart. Somebody said, who, preacher? Well, that's between me and them, and they know I know it. They know that I know it. And then sometimes it's a shame. You know who it was in the life of David? David said, mine own familiar friend who sat at my table has risen up against me. I'm telling you who it was with the Lord. An old familiar friend that sat at his table had risen up against him. That's right. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, you can see it on the countenance of people. Face get harder than iron. neck as stiff as a poker, been out of joint, and refused to get right with God over some little frivolous thing. I've never seen people in the that we're living in that will let some little old frivolous thing that don't amount to in an anthill, friend, and they'll let it bend them out of joint and finally destroy them before they get right with God. And won't talk about it. I ain't going to talk about it, Brother Hall. I ain't going to talk about it, Brother Hall. One or two things when somebody won't talk about their problem. Either they're proud and got the idea they can work it out on their own, or they're covering up sin in their life that they don't want anybody else to know anything about. One or two, friend. What y'all looking so sullen about? We were the problems at this morning. And I would to God I could put the plow on down about another 6 inches and plow the stump out. Son, we need liberty in the house of God. Well, we need the joy bells to ring again in the house of God. But I'm telling you, as long as that high and haughty spirit invades the hearts of God's people, it will continue to deprive us from the power and the blessings of God. I was weeping last night and again this morning in my study. I said, Lord, please, we need the Holy Ghost to work. We need God to come and work in our church. You remember how it was back in 96, things are buzzing? It was because God was working. God was working. I'm telling you, what's going on right now ought to be an evident sign that there's no work of God taking place. Now, I'm not talking about the shouting and the running aisles, friend. I'm talking about families that you could see God doing things in. People getting things right in their heart, and people are growing in grace, and God are working things out for this family, working something. Oh, and when the Holy Ghost is working, my friend, it is a blessed and a wonderful thing. But when He's grieved or when He's quenched and cannot work in our midst with liberty, I'm telling you, there'll be nothing done spiritually in the house of God. And when we're brought to a place where God has brought us to, there ain't but one thing to do, and that's repent and get right. Now, I want you to listen to me. I've got a few illustrations, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. If you'll give me just a few minutes of your time. I want to, Lord, but my pride won't let me. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Got them wrapped in. Got them tied in. Got me tied up. Tied up with a chain that the links cannot be broken. In bondage. If I know anything, that's bondage. Somebody said, can God's people get into bondage? Oh, yes. 430 years, the house of Israel sat in the iron furnace, in slime pits, in bondage to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Yes, sir. God's people can, by their sin and their disobedience and disregard to God, be brought into captivity. That's right. What about it, preacher? Well, I want to repent. I want to repent, but my pride won't let me. I want to turn, but my pride won't let me. I've went too far. You see, I've went too far to turn back. I've done showed how macho and tough and strong I am, and I've done went too far to turn back. It's kind of like we was when we was little boys, and we let our alligator mouth overload our parakeet backside sometimes. You know, and there's a bigger fella in school than what we was, and we run our little mouth, and we got to a point running our mouth, there's no way out! I'd like to turn back, but I've gone so far, my pride won't let me. So there's nothing left but to fight this battle, knowing you're going to lose when you go into the fight. Somebody said, you ever been there? Yeah, I got a t-shirt. Amen to God. I think we all have. I want to repent, but my pride won't let me. I think of three men in the Bible I'm confident would like to have repented. I really believe with all of my heart that a man by the name of Pontius Pilate would like to have repented, but his pride wouldn't let him. Stout-hearted, stiff-necked, adamant man. Realized there's not a question in my mind that Pilate realized he was wrong about Christ. For he sought that he might release him. But pride wouldn't let him. I want to let him go, but my pride won't let me do it. And I called that, Pilate was held by pride because of his position. Oh, you don't understand my position, preacher. Now I'm going to say, His was a political position. It don't always have to be that way. His political clout and power. You want to know why a lot of them politicians in Washington talk the talk with their lips, but in their heart they're ravening wolves and they're going to hell? Because of their politically perfect position they're in won't let them, they know, to be a Christian. You can't tip cocktails and suck booze and drink liquor and go to dances and hormones and yet be a child of God. They want to put on a front, but their pride won't let it bend over and do that which is right. I know that's right. I like what the messenger said about President Bush. And he probably ain't saved, but I'll tell you, he's a far cry better than what we had. And if you ain't praying for him, shut up. You ain't got any right to criticize him if you ain't prayed for him. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what he done in China when he said to dine with the Chinese emperor. He was sipping, the messenger said, on a glass of milk. Woo! That beats a cocktail in my book, friend. Amen. And talked about his faith. Somebody said, well, he talked about America being a Christian nation. We ain't no Christian nation. No, I readily agree there's a whole lot of false professors going on. But I'm telling you, we're head and shoulders above the rest of the nations. We're yet got the freedom to stand here today and preach the gospel. Amen. He said, I'd like to repent, but my position won't let me do it. Some folks have made themselves, built themselves up in the public to be something they're not. Others on the job that they hold have built themselves up to the men around them that they're something they're not. And preacher, I'd like to repent and get right with God, but you know the position I hold, these men all look up to me. I could come to church on Sunday mornings and put on the show. But if I really repented and got right with God, I'd have to confess it to them, and my pride won't let me do that. I wonder how Christian we really are down on the job. How Christian we really are around individuals. Huh? Absolutely. Jesus stood in the presence of Pilate in John chapter number 19. And Pilate had already went to the Jews and said, I find no fault in this man. I find no problem with him whatsoever. But they kept on, they kept on, they kept on. Till finally, Pilate questioned Jesus again. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? He didn't have to speak again. I'll get to Herod in a minute. And if you'll notice in Herod's testimony, friend, when Jesus stood before him, Jesus opened not his mouth one time. You know why? Because John the Baptist had already been there and sold the Word of God and given the testimony of Christ, and he turned it down and out, telling you that God doesn't have to offer it to you men one time, neighbor, and if he offers it more than once, you better stand up and rejoice and thank God for his mercy toward you. I know that's right. Amen. That's right. By the way, that's the worst thing for a child of God than dying. Better believe it. Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now, I'm not throwing off on the man that preached on the 6 o'clock last night, but he let on like it wasn't the Jews' responsibility that Christ died. But I'm here to tell you the blood of Christ is upon the hands of the Jews. You can call him, write him, and tell him I said that. And they have the greater sin, for from them come the oracles of God. Out of their heritage come the Messiah God. And they're the ones that turned him over to the Gentiles to scourge, mock, and crucify. And his blood will be upon them. Amen! I'm about to get burnt on flowery messages that take things out of context and misguide people. Amen! You'll have to admit you may not love me, but you are like me the one. But you have to admit I am what I am, buddy, and I'm going to tell it like it is.
I'm going to tell it straight and love you while I'm telling it. But while I'm telling it straight, I'm going to be blessed God just as hard as I can and hard-nosed as I can get. For I know where it is a good way. It is in the right way. It's in the blessed way. It's in the holy way. It's in the heavenly way. And I'm here to tell you, friends, if we'll ever get in it, heaven will open.
Yes, sir. He said, you'd have no power at all. He said, therefore, they that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin.
Amen.
Now get this, next statement. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth. Now I guarantee you, Pilate is in hell this morning. And he's crying out, I wanted to, but my pride wouldn't let me. I wanted to believe, but my pride wouldn't let me. I wanted to release him, but my pride wouldn't let me. My position in life would not let me repent. I want to, but I'm compassed about with chains of pride, and the pride won't let me.
Hallelujah.
There's another man, Herod, that wanted to repent, but his pride wouldn't let him. But unlike Pilate, who was held by pride by a position, Herod was held by pride because of a promise, a vow. Friend, you better be careful what you vow. I ain't doing such and such no more. I will do such and such. Will you now? God may put you to the test on that buckwheat. I will not unless. Oh, is that right? I'll never shout again unless I know without a doubt that God's in it. He might squeeze you so tight, son, you'll have to shout one of these days.
Amen.
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 Yes. Herod made a dumb promise. John the Baptist had went to Herod and charged him with adultery.
Amen.
Because he had taken his own brother's wife and married her. And I'm going to tell you, that woman, Herodias, was a wicked, ungodly woman. Waited for her opportunity through her own child to get revenge on the man of God. And she used her own child to get revenge on the preacher. God help an individual that will use members of their own family to get revenge on the man of God because he preached against your sin. If he nails your sin, get right about it. Repent. Well, I want preacher, repent of that, but my pride won't let me. I've had roast preacher and I'd like to get right, but my pride won't let me. I've gossiped and run my mouth and I'd like to repent, but my pride won't let me.
Amen.
Amen. We're in a hole today now. Are you listening? Mark 6:20 said Herod feared John. What about that? Didn't fear him enough to keep him from cutting his head off though, did he? Knowing that he was a just man and a holy and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to know what Herod did. Don't go in the Bible. You still with me? When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. I wouldn't doubt if one of them things wasn't weeping. I wouldn't doubt if one of them things wasn't begging with John. John, just see things my way. If you just see things my way, man, you'll get along all right, preacher, if you just see things my way for a change. What do you always have to be right?
I'm going to tell you, I believe I'm right. If I'm in that book, I'm right. Like it, lump it, hump it, bump it, jump it, son, I'm right if I'm in that book.
Had somebody I loved the other day that wrote me a little old letter and said, Brother Hall, still love you, but said such and such and such and such, said, but you were wrong. Well, I'm not going to argue. I didn't answer the letter. But in that situation, Brother Hall was not wrong. I'm not saying I ain't been wrong, but it wasn't wrong that time. If I'm wrong, I'll eat humble pie and apologize. I have before. I blowed my cool little basketball game when my boy was going out to Grace, and I announced a week ahead of time when I was going to apologize for that terrible mistake. And I said right in there on them microphones, give them a week in advance at a particular time on a certain night, I apologize for what I did publicly. I know how to eat humble pie, friend. That's exactly right. Now I'm going to tell you what. If you eat it when it's still hot, it's not bad. That's exactly what I did. When the crow was hot, I ate it then and it wasn't bad. You let the crow get cold, it's like a roadkill. Don't go down easy. It won't go down too easy then. No, sir. Old Herod feared him, knowing he, and heard him gladly. But he had a big feast one day and had a bunch of folks to come in and all of his governors and things, and he had a little old girl, the daughter of Herodias, to come in and dance for him. And it said, and when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, get this, how stupid a statement. Ask of me whatever you want, and I'll give that to you. Oh, my friend, you better be careful. Promises that you make and vows you make with your tongue, yet it'd be better not to make a vow than to make a vow not keep it. We better be careful what we say with our tongue. And that young lady went out and told her, said, Mama, guess what? Said, the king done said he'd give me anything I wanted up to half of his kingdom. This is my big chance in life. Mama, I'm on easy street from here on out. The God of glory has done provided for me. What should I ask for, Mama? What should I ask for? And that wicked woman, go ahead and ask for the head of John the Baptist. Can you imagine what that little girl, how her heart sunk when her mommy wanted revenge and all she probably looked for was some kind of a handout from the king? And she went in to the king. She went into the king and came in straightway unto the king and saying, I will that thou give me by and by a charge of the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for them that sat with him, he would not reject her. I want to repent, but I've done told these people this. I want to repent. Brother Hall, I want to get back into it in church and confess my sin and my old cold complacent heart and the fact that I'm bitter. I'm just bitter and envious. I'm full of jealousy and pride and somebody else is doing something I can't and somebody's doing something God won't let me do and I'm built up with pride and jealousy and envy. Strife is built up in my heart and I want to get right, but my pride, Lord, won't let me. I want to confess it, but my pride won't let me by that. But besides that, I've confessed my sin once before the church and twice before the church and three times before the church. And I've puked up everything that I've known from all the way from elementary school up to now. And if I puke this up too much, God, what will the people think about me? I want to! I want to, but my pride won't let me out. Compassed to bed with chains of pride, and the pride, like a noose around my neck, is strangling the life out of me. But I ain't going to do nothing about it. I feel sorry for a man to die like that. I got to hurry. My time's about gone. I wanted to be done by this time. I promised Brother Nolan I was going to try to slow down and stretch it out a little bit in my life. And he said, just don't preach so loud. I said, no, just it's long. He said, no, it's loud. I said, no, it's long. And I'd rather be loud and short than long and quiet.
Amen.
There was another man in the Bible fellow that had a lot of money. That rich man was held by pride because of his possessions. I want to get right. Good master, what must I do to be saved? Well, keep the commandments. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, honor the father and mother. And all these things have I done from my youth up. Amen. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful.
Amen.
For he had great possessions. I want to tell you something, friend. Are you listening? The preacher's morning, they don't have to be great possessions. I want to give up that television set, preacher. But my pride won't let me.
Right.
See, preacher, I've done made that vow like her, and I said, I'll give it up over my dead body. It could very well be.
Right.
I want to give up that pill, preacher. I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to get the TV out of your house, another thing to get it out of your heart.
Right.
We get it out of the house and then do everything in the world we can to keep watching it. We'll buy VCRs and monitors and buy videos and movies and play them on the movies on things and sit and watch it. But there ain't nothing wrong with that, see? Come on in the house. If you're going to watch a video, you're going to watch videos on it, you just won't go buy a television set. Oh, preachers, they're just cartoons. Oh, I wonder when the next time they'll slip a hair. What do you think people are coming, Brother John? Do you do realize that Hollywood, that our government went to Hollywood to get some ideas on how to fight terrorism because Hollywood can portray it so vividly? Wonder where people get some of the ideas for the bizarre things they do. Come on in the house. And we don't partake of it, but we'll turn around and let our kids go off to places that do. Okay. Time to move on to point two. It ain't going to get no better. I want to reconcile, preacher. I want to make reconciliation. But my pride won't let me. God's here. I want to make reconciliation with someone, but my pride won't let me. What about reconciling the relationship of a friend? Lord said in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, I want to stop right there. I don't do no more than talk the rest of this message. If there's somebody in this church that's got a problem with somebody else in this church, if you're the one that's got the problem, it is your responsibility to go to that person and talk to them about it and get it right. Don't sit and wait for them to come to you. You know what you do? Well, I'm not going to mention it. I'm going to let God deal with that situation. Chances are, if God has told us in the book how to handle that situation, God ain't going to deal with that situation. Not until we deal with it in the right manner. Oh, preacher. He said, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But he said, if he won't hear you, take one or two more. And if he won't hear them, take it to the church. And if he won't hear the church, count him as a heathen and a publican and mark him as a class A hypocrite, lost church member going to hell. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Just a little Bible.
Yes, sir.
I want to reconcile with a friend. You know there's ought in my heart. I've been peeved for a long time. Let's bring her on down and get it all together. Hurry through this. What about I'd like to reconcile with a family member?
Right.
Don't tell me families don't get bent out of joint, Buckwheat.
Well.
Brothers and sisters and children against parents. Oh yeah, families get bent all out of joint. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know? If that's not true, what are you going to do about Jacob and Esau? What are you going to do about Cain and Abel? What are you going to do about Ab-
friend. Now, I'm here to tell you, some of those, I'll guarantee you, if Cain could rise up today, he'd say, I wish I'd have reconciled, and I wanted to reconcile. I wanted it, but my pride wouldn't let me. It had to be my way or no way. And because Abel didn't see things my way, we ain't having it his way either. Can't you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, go to one another and work things out with one another? And let the Bible be the final judge?
Yes, sir.
If I've offended you, can you not come to me as your pastor and let us sit down with this Bible and work things out?
Amen.
Rather than letting that bitterness build up in your heart? Come on in the house.
Amen.
What about family members?
Amen.
Well, come on now. Somebody said it can't happen. I'm going to tell you, I come to a knockdown drag out at my house on Timmons Lane several years ago.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It can get that way, folks.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, 99% of the place where it gets there, through the children.
Right.
Primarily through the grand youngins.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
I love you, but I'm telling you, it'll build up there.
Amen.
Oh, come on in the house. I want to reconcile with my own brother. I mean, we're brothers raised in the same room, eat at the same table, eat mama's pinto beans when we were children and cornbread. But I ain't going to get right. I want to, I'd like to, but my pride won't let me. I want to get right with my mama. My pride won't let me. What about young people? Old people too. I like getting right with my mama, but my pride won't let me. She don't know what she's done to me. Are you listening? I know these things can happen. And all it takes is for one or the other person just to have a bad day and say one little old thing. Somebody said, have you been there? Sure I have. In this last week. I don't let that thing lay there long. Huh? Is that right, babe? We don't let it lay there long, do we? Get it right. Husband and wife. Children against their own father. What do you think about the prodigal son's boy? Her brother. When the prodigal son come home, they killed the fatted calf out of the house, come music and dancing. The elder brother come to the house and said, what's going on? The servant said, your younger brother's come home and said, his father's killed the fatted calf. He said, come on into the music. I'm not going in. He went out and spent everything he had, and here daddy's showing him favoritism. Why did I show him favoritism? I'm the one that's labored. I'm the one that stayed here and been through hell. Why is daddy showing him all the favor? And the father goes out, son, you're ever with me, and everything that I have is yours. He's come home. He was lost and is found. Is it not meet that we ought to rejoice and kill the fatted calf? Come on into the house. I want to, Daddy, but my pride won't let me. Now, I'm telling you, that's where some of you in this church right now is living. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there ain't a daddy in here. It's got his toe over the proverbial line. I won't charge you a thing for that. And I'm going to tell all of you something. As long as I'm pastor here, if you don't think that I won't bust your children and your grandchildren for sin, you have got another thought coming, sir, ma'am. I marched my own boy and the lady that is his wife right now, right here, and dealt with them over sin. And you think I'm going to let yours get off the hook? You nuts, friend. Not as long as my name's on that sign out there, I'm going to deal with it. I don't care who it is. Right's right and wrong is wrong. And some of you parents and grandparents that coddle and protect that sin, you're just as guilty as those children are. Amen. I want to get right, but my pride just won't let me.
I want to reconcile, but my pride won't let me. I want to repent, but my pride won't let me. And I'm going to close with this one. Oh, I had five. I just wrote three of them down. I'm trying to shorten my messages. I want to rejoice, preacher, but my pride won't let me. You see, I've done made the vow to somebody. And I've got my position now to maintain. Sometimes I think people get bent out of joint just so people in the church will pay attention to them. Didn't get enough attention when there's a baby, so they got to get a little attention now. I want to rejoice, preacher, but my pride won't let me. Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I don't say always. That says always, and that means at all times. And again, I say rejoice. Paul said in Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Peter said in 1 Peter 1:8, you rejoice with joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Full of glory.
Yes, sir.
Listen carefully now. That word rejoice in Romans 5:2 means to boast.
Amen.
That word rejoice in Philippians 4:4 and Thessalonians 5:16 means to be cheerful.
Amen.
And calmly happy.
Amen.
You know, you can rejoice without jumping up and down. You can just sit in your pew, friend, with a big smile on your face.
Amen.
Well, how you doing today, my brother? How you doing, sister? Just rejoicing in God.
Amen.
Well, you're surely not rejoicing. You're not up running out. Well, no, I don't have to be. See, I'm just rejoicing in God.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. I was told to rejoice evermore. That means keep a smile on my face all the time. Just rejoice. Praise God. Thank
Amen.
God. Some folks in here ain't never boasted in Him. And sometimes, many of you very seldom rejoice calmly. But that word in 1 Peter, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It means to jump for joy. So see, there's more than one way to have joy. There's more than one way to show the joy that you have. That's what rejoicing is. It's an outworking of the joy that's already in you.
Amen.
There's more than one way of doing that. I'll guarantee you, if some of you folks was in here, somebody knocked on your door in the morning. You opened the door, and lo and behold, Ed McMahon. You've just won $1 trillion, and here is a giant check to prove it. You know what you'd do? Oh. I guarantee you, there's some of you in here, if you drove home this afternoon, drove up in the parking lot, and there's a big, nice, shiny, dually 4x4 pickup truck, four-wheel drive, Chevrolet, of course, with a big ribbon tied around it, all yours. So just keys is in it. Now, a few days after that, you might be, that jumping may be gone. But I guarantee you, you'll still be, hey, you hear what happened to me this week?
All right.
God, Ed McMahon come to my house. Hear what happened to me this week? Got home Sunday from church, right? Got in the 4x4 Chevy Dually sitting there. Yeller. Had a yeller and black steering wheel. Four-wheel drive. Son ready to roll. Now, after a little while, and you've done told everybody they are to tell, and you've done jumped up and down and told everybody they are to tell about your four-wheel drive and your big gift check from Ed McMahon, I guarantee you, say that big gift check from McMahon, if I was to come into your house, how you doing, brother? Doing great. Sit down on my new sofa. By the way, in my new home,
And by the way, honey, bring the preacher a cup of coffee out of that new china that we just bought. And bring it in here on that serving cart that we just bought. Oh, no, it didn't come from service merchandise. Todd Select, buddy. Got the best they are. You wouldn't be jumping up and down. But you'd still have that calm joy. But I guarantee you, there may come a time when you got out somewhere and you stopped and you said, and you'd meet a stranger. Praise God. Where in the world, man, did you find that yellow fool before she'd be, oh, I just hope you'd tell me this. I'm talking about rejoicing. I want to, preacher. But my pride won't let me. It's not this no more. And it's not boasting no more. It's not even this no more. I want to do it. I want to rejoice. But my pride. I've done promised somebody it'd be over my dead body. Oh, I ever rejoice like that again, shout and carry it on. And I'm well esteemed in the church and in the family and got my image to look up to. Ain't gonna do it. Pride, I want to. Therefore, they are compassed about. Chains. Therefore, pride has encompassed them about as chains. Compassed about with chains of pride, choking. And you don't realize that one of these days, that last breath will choke out of you. I said this, I'm going to say it again. It's not original. I heard Larry Montgomery say it on the preacher's hour Friday night. That when John the Baptist stood in the presence of Herod, he gave him an opportunity. But when Jesus stood in front of Herod, he never opened his mouth. I'm sure in the heart of Jesus, he was saying, you had your opportunity. John the Baptist passed by your way. And as sure as I'm living, I don't know much about God. I've not been preaching but about 22 years. I don't know much about God, but I know enough to know this. That one of these days, unless some of you get right, you'll be like Jonah, sitting down there under a gourd. And the only word you have from God, the only word you have, that doeth thee well to be angry, Jonah.
Right.
Wouldn't that be terrible? To be downcast and beaten and God passed by your way one more time? And you think, surely, here comes a handful on purpose. But the only word he speaks is, it doeth thee well to be angry. And goes his way. I guarantee you, when Herod turned and walked from Jesus, he knew exactly why the Lord hadn't spoken to him. Exactly why. I guarantee the Holy Ghost climbed up on his shoulders and said, you missed your opportunity, sir. Who was that fellow in the Bible when Paul testified to him? Go, Paul. Just another convenient day. I want to today, but I'll hear you again when it's convenient. How much more convenient can you be? How much more convenient could it be for some people to get right than right now? There'll be no more. There will be, and I'm confident of this, there will be not a more convenient season for somebody in this church today. Somebody. Let's stand together, please.